Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I am your host for this weekend's edition. Also your host throughout the week on our website and podcast, kereport.com and Corlin Economics Report. Please be sure to follow us and check in on a daily basis because boy oh boy, it's been a very busy week and a very busy year. All kinds of, especially company interviews and a lot of analysis focused on markets and metals. And this weekend show, well, we have to focus on the metals and the pretty drastic sell-off that we saw this week on the back of the Fed statement. And in all fairness, metals, commodities broadly were pretty volatile even heading into this week, way more volatile than equity markets. So that could have been a contributing factor. Either way, I'm going to spend a lot of time on that, and I am kicking off the show with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro-Pacific Gold Fund. Now, as a note here, Adrian and I are talking about halfway through the day on Thursday. So as of right now, not a good day for gold. And quite frankly, just in the last 3 days of trading, gold is down over $100 and quite a ways off, about $150 off of that high from the very beginning of this month, right around 1920. Adrian, is it as simple as the Fed talking about getting more dovish, even though the dot plot moved a couple years down the road? Is that what's driving this correction in gold?
Yeah, well, good morning, Corey. And as you and I were joking before the show, we should stop booking these interviews in advance because it seems every time we book an interview, gold collapses.
So, it's true. And we book these things like a month, 2 months in advance, yeah, too. But it's eerie.
It happened last time, didn't it? And it's a lot more fun to be talking when things are up. But I think the advice is, if my advice is of value to anyone, the advice is more valuable than when things are not working out well. You know, I think clearly the Fed was the trigger, and also more than that, it was the fundamental factor driving. So it was the primary factor driving. As you mentioned, the commodities in general were volatile heading into this. Gold itself was really a lot less volatile than the other commodities, frankly. And, you know, I think we'd had a situation. I was looking at the graph. You go back to the low, the bottom for gold, the bottom in early March. Although we came back to that low a month later, we have not had more than two consecutive down days. So we've had 2 days down, but we haven't had more than two consecutive days down until this week. Well, until last week, sorry. So gold had been really remarkably strong. I mean, it was obviously a good move up, a good recovery move, but also not having a meaningful correction this whole way up. And so I think that set the tone for gold to react, you know, the way it did to the Fed statement. Now, I mean, obviously a lot of people have commented on this, but I mean, my gosh, the Fed is talking about, you know, raising rates 2 years out. You know, the headline to me should have been, Fed won't raise rates for at least 2 years, says Powell. I mean, that's the headline. In the current environment, rates are ridiculously low and should be higher. I'm not saying I want them higher, but they should be higher. And so the real headline to me is that the Fed isn't going to do anything for 2 years. That would have been bullish for gold. But of course, the way it's written, Fed to raise rates, and you look at all of the things in the Fed statement, the Fed comments, and the market simply focused on the fact that, you know, they said they were going to raise rates 2 years from now. They didn't focus on Powell conceding that inflation is higher than anticipated, not just higher, higher and more persistent, he said. You know, this is interesting because after the full dress court of, you know, all of the different Fed spokesmen and regional chairmen and everybody else coming in, coming out saying it's just transitory, it's just transitory, it's a base effect from last April, don't worry about it. Now, for the first time, they're admitting, well, maybe it's more persistent, more persistent than we thought it was. The fact that the Fed says we're in new territory, new waters, by the way, into which Powell, as captain of the boat, steered us. You know, why are we in the situation we're in the first place? It's only because of Fed policy. So they're saying we're in uncharted waters and we've got no experience and no predictive models for this scenario. Not that the Fed's models have proven to be particularly accurate. That's a different comment. But inflation higher than we more persistent than we anticipated should be bullish for gold. The Fed saying we don't have the faintest clue what we're doing, I've translated, that should be extremely bullish for gold. But instead, the market simply said, simply heard interest rate hike. And of course, they didn't even hear the 2 years out. And that, of course, is negative, negative for gold.
Okay, so that's the near term or at least the short term driver. But one thing that I'm finding very curious in terms of the action just today, again on Thursday, is that on the back of the Fed statement, we did see yields move higher. But then all of a sudden today, yields are giving back all of that. So we are seeing a move back into bonds. Why are investors out there buying bonds, taking that more defensive play, but ignoring gold and continuing to sell off gold?
Well, I mean, partly, of course, it's because the dollar's gone up. So with the dollar rally, again, the dollar's rally, US interest rates, as you know, are already higher than competing rates of, you know, leading nations around the world, whether it's Europe, Japan, or whatever. So if you're an international investor, the US is already offering you a relative advantage in your bond yields. And for the Fed then to say, well, we're going to raise interest rates when no one else in the world is talking about raising interest rates, that's one more reason to get in to get into U.S. assets. So the dollar's gone up. So, you know, I think that's what the key differential between the two is. A higher dollar makes, you know, means people are piling into bonds, but a higher dollar means, you know, that's negative for gold. Other things being equal.
Now, one other aspect we should compare here to gold is the U.S. equity markets, because, look, a lot of the chatter out there was saying that if the Fed gets tighter or winds back some of their monetary policy, that's going to hurt gold, or that's going to hurt the U.S. equity markets. We're seeing some weakness in the markets, but again, compared to the precious metals, nowhere close to that kind of weakness. Again, what's the disconnect? Why are the markets managing to withstand, at least for right now, this slightly more dovish, at least in the narrative sense, Fed?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, as you said, the S&P, you know, the stock market did sell off fairly dramatically when the Fed announcement, when Powell opened his mouth, not so much. So it did sell off, and it recovered, of course, and then today it's come off again. But as you say, nothing compared with the rest of the market. I mean, the plain fact is the Fed talked about raising interest rates maybe 2 years in the future, and they talked about maybe we ought to start thinking about when we might want to start talking about having a discussion about possibly perhaps actually tapering sometime in the future. But they're continuing to print money like crazy. And if they are printing, if there's excess liquidity in the system, that is by definition liquidity in excess of the current needs of the economy, that money has to go somewhere. So, you know, it can go into Bitcoin, it can go into 12-year-old sneakers, but most of it, the bulk of it, is going to go into the stock market. and you know, and not there's a wide disparity in the stock market, as you know, between the high flyers with the highest PE multiples and the highest valuations, and most of the stocks. Most of the stocks are at the their long term high valuations, but most of the stock market is by no means in bubble territory, in my view. And so, you know, there's a lot of excess liquidity around. It has to go somewhere. I think it just continues to go into the stock market.
You're right, Adrian. And the whole fact there being that there's still a lot of liquidity in the system, even though the Fed is maybe thinking about getting a bit more dovish.
Yeah.
Fact of the matter is there's a lot of money still in that system. And, well, quite frankly, people have realized that it's not worth putting it in your bank account. So they, I think, continue to keep it in these markets. Let's talk about the strategy for investors then when it comes to the precious metals, because gold stocks were, you can argue, weathering the storm fairly well after that Fed day on Wednesday. But today, on Thursday, well, they're outperforming to the downside, unfortunately. GDX is down over 5%. GDXJ is down almost 5%. Even silver, SIL, the silver miners, they're down over 5%. What's the strategy then, Adrian, in your eyes,
yeah,
for precious metals investors?
Good question. And I think, yes, stocks sold off yesterday. But frankly, I was surprised yesterday, and I have to say I was cautiously optimistic, that the stocks hadn't sold off as much yesterday. But of course, we didn't see, you know, Asian markets or European markets pick up on the gold trade. And so they sold off. I think that's what it was. And they sold off today. You know, frankly, but gold and silver stocks as a group were not in any way overvalued last month, last week, before they dropped. I think that's something we have to remember, because, you know, you have a totally different strategy if the stocks were already ahead of themselves and now, you know, they've released some steam. They were not. They were fundamentally cheap. You look at the valuation metrics on the XAU. We've talked about this before. It's astonishing. Whether it's price to earnings, yes, some gold companies actually have earnings these days. Price to earnings, price to cash flow, price to free cash flow, price to net asset value, price to EBITDA. On all of those valuations, the senior gold and silver companies are trading in the lower 30 percentile compared with their historical evaluation ranges. And on some of those metrics, they are actually in the lowest 10 percentile. That is crazy when gold is trading. And frankly, even if you're talking about gold trading where it is right now, you know, on a historical basis, go back 15 years, this is still, you know, towards the high end of gold's price range, not the low end. And for the gold stocks to be trading at the low end of their valuations, especially when they are, for the most part, better companies, and we've talked about that before, better companies than they were, is crazy. And so for me, the strategy now is, I mean, really take advantage of the declines and sharp declines in the prices of the best companies. You know, there's a saying, don't buy hamburger when the fillet's on sale. And I've nothing against hamburger, and there's some great junior companies out there. But I mean, if you can buy, let's just say, Barrick at $21, or you can buy Agnico back to under 65, Goldfields at 9:30. You know, these are super companies, solid companies, and the prices are remarkably low. And on the silver side, I mean, Pan American, which is, you know, I think it's the creme de la creme of silver companies, but that's back to its low. I guess it did drop a little bit below it in January. Yeah, a little bit below it in January. But basically, That's at the low price it is traded, you know, for over a year. I think that's just a superb buy at this price for tuna silver under $6. You know, I think if you stick tech, $20. I think if you stick with the best buys, the best companies that are good value, that's the approach right now.
Okay, so you're sticking to the majors, and even looking at the Pan American chart, very interesting because it is testing out really that breakout level from last year and that spike after and right before COVID, actually. It's a very interesting chart to see these bigger guys selling off to what could be some good support levels. What about some of the royalty companies too, Adrian? They've really come off the radar of some investors. There's a lot of royalty companies out there right now, and I know you follow, especially the big ones. Do you like the position that they are in?
Yeah, but, you know, you look at a Franco, it's dropped, you know, less than $4 on a $150 stock price. That hasn't sold off anywhere near as much as the others. So, for example, Franco, I think it's the number one gold mining company out there. It's superb. It's going to do very, very well. But if you're saying today, look at what's dropped, let's scoop up some bargains, then Franco doesn't jump out on your screen. So I think that's true for some of them. Royal Gold has, you know, dropped in line with the market. Osisko's dropped in line with the market. But they were already a little bit ahead of themselves. I think there's more value in some of the junior ones. Metalla, I think, is a good buy here. They announced a very good acquisition this morning. And of course, it was, shall we say, unfortunate timing to make a good announcement when the market crashes like this. But you know, Metalla, it's come back up now. It's at $10, 10 by 10 or 1. But at $10, you know, I think that's a very good buy. They just bought a royalty on IAMGOLD's Côté Gold project, you know, in Ontario. It's being developed. So this is near-term cash flow for them. I think a very, very, very good acquisition for them. So, you know, and Metalla, of course, is in the GDXJ. So there's forced selling. You know, when the GDX is sold, this is sold. So I think that's a good opportunity. One thing I'll say about the royalties, if I may, Corey, and I'm sorry, there's so much to talk about and I'm just jumping around. But one thought that's really interesting about the royalty companies, you know, we know all the advantages of royalties, you know, that they're not responsible for the costs and things going wrong and it's money off the top and all that. And first money in, last money in. And we also know that generally, the valuations have been high, but we accept that because of the quality of the companies. One thing that I think a lot of people haven't really focused on, and that is in an inflationary environment, that gives a real advantage to the royalty companies. Because for Barrick or Agnico or anyone else, when the price of steel and copper go up, that increases the cost of building the mine. And when the cost of energy and the commodity currencies goes up, which they do in inflationary periods, that increases the costs of running the mine. But those costs don't accrue to those increased costs don't accrue to the royalty companies. So the royalty companies have a very strong competitive advantage in an inflationary period, which I don't think there's much doubt that we're entering into.
That does seem to be the overwhelming narrative, too, is that we are in an inflationary period. And the whole question is it transitory or is it not transitory? And quite frankly, we just don't know until further down the road. Final comments then, Adrian. Broadly, in the commodities sector, commodities were volatile heading into this sell-off. And, well, they're all correcting. And even the base metals, quite dramatically. Are you looking outside the precious metals at any other commodities as an opportunity, either within the stocks or the underlying commodity that you think still offers kind of a long-term potential for investors?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking, but I have to say, Corey, today, looking at it today, you know, I mean, And look, Altius, I think Altius, you know, the royalty company, diversified the royalty company, I think that's a very good buy here. Super strong company, and it gives you broad exposure to all the commodities. But, you know, I've been looking at Cameco and Teck, again, some of the better quality companies in different outside of a precious metal space. And even though they are attractive, in other words, if I'd been sitting here saying, I want to buy Cameco and I want to buy Teck, I'd look today and I say, yep, this is the day to buy them. I don't think the valuations compare with the valuations on the better gold and silver companies. Now, you know, Freeport has come off an awful lot. And Freeport, of course, is the number one copper company to buy. So, you know, I think we can look at those and maybe pick away at them. But the gold, because we may not get another opportunity in some of these metals. But you look at, say, Cameco. You know, Cameco is at whatever it is, $19 or something. Everything's volatile today, so I've got to keep looking. It's 1902 right now. You know, down from a high of 2163. That's the high. Well, okay, that's great, but it was $16 3 months ago, and it was $12 6 months ago. So is it such a super it's not depressed. It's not a highly depressed company right now. And that goes for a lot of the non-precious metal resource stocks, frankly. They're not depressed.
Okay, so you are still seeing some opportunities, though, in some of those major gold miners especially. We're going to leave it there, Adrian. It's always great having you on the show. I appreciate you spending some time with us for this weekend show. And yeah, you know what? We are going to book another interview. Hopefully it is not during another correction, but it is eerie how this does seem to happen to us. Adrian, thanks as always for your time, buddy. It's great having you on the show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.